and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll turn your Bibles to John, the 13th chapter. John, the 13th chapter. 1 year ago, exactly, for the first time, Tracy and I, Colton, worshiped with you as your pulpit minister. Yesterday, 1 year ago, we entered into the home, the first time for it to be our home. Phone rang just a few minutes after we entered the door, and you could tell Brother Fred Duke had a smile on his face. You know, you can tell the way he talks. He always has a smile on his face. He said, David, there's several of us want to come over and help you unload. A truck that took us hours and hours and hours and a couple of days to load was unloaded in just a couple of hours. The pantries already had food in them. Supper was there on the counter, and it hasn't stopped since that time. You've been more than generous to us. You've been very loving, been very gracious to us. Throughout this past year, we've had many great times, and we've had times that were sad. I remember on March 17th, Brother Ty May coming forward. He wanted his sins forgiven. He wanted to be baptized. Remember March 31st, Blake Jones did the same. May 6th, Leanna Warren wanted her sins forgiven. Some of the times that we don't find the same kind of joy in and some grief in. April 18th, Mrs. Weddington died. May 21st, Franklin Camp died. June 5th, Brother Garland Malden died. January 11th, Brother Carl Neighbors. Just within a couple of weeks before us moving here, Felton Spraggins, Miss Willardine's son, died. Miss Smith's husband died. Mr. Red Talbert died. December 28th, time to rejoice. Stephen and Leanna Warren were married. Throughout the year, not long after we moved here, the Yanceys placed membership. The Udders, along with their daughter Lisa Payne, placed membership. The Dixons and the Smiths, just last Wednesday night, placed membership. Through each of these times, I've seen in you love. The love that I believe Jesus Christ would want you to have. I've seen the tears of joy in the baptisms. I've seen the tears of sorrow and grieving with those that grieve during the losses. I've seen you welcome as I think Jesus would want others welcomed as you welcome the new members. I know I feel like you have given us ocean vessels full many times over of love. During the deaths of my grandmothers, the cards, the calls, the food, all of that was comfort. During the birth of our daughter, you were so kind, so generous. I remember the first few weeks we were here, Brother James Bowers would take an afternoon a week and come over and he would show me where the shut-ins lived and we'd go visit them. And he'd show me where the sick lived that were sick for that week and we'd visit them. He took his time every week for several weeks to help me learn my way around. I remember being out of town very soon after us moving here and Brother Garner Phillips mowed my yard. I guess he didn't know what he was getting into. He helped me mow it the rest of the year. And there's just so many of you that have helped and showed love in ways that we never dreamed we would be loved and we could love in return. Many of you have had us feed in your homes or have taken us out or both. We appreciate so much spending much time with the couples our age and having close friendships there. We appreciate the teenagers. They're always respectful. They've been in our home several times. They're always friendly and kind and polite. And always a pleasure to be around. Also, I can't go without mentioning the one I work with day to day, and that's Miss Bishop. You're blessed. Blessed immensely to have a secretary that has been with you for so long and does such a good job. Hard worker, dedicated, and steadfast. She's been a tremendous help to me from day one and even till now. We're blessed to have the elders we have. They've always worked so well with me and have guided me so well. And they've always been truthful and honest, open and sincere in the work. Brethren, let's keep up the good work. Let's love and let's continue to love as Jesus Christ has taught us how to love. And let's have many, many good years together. I think this is the type of love that we read about in the 34th verse. John 13:34, Jesus speaking, and He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now, brother, I do not believe that this was just a sporadic statement. I don't think Jesus just happened to be sitting there among the 12 and say, "Hey, before I forget, let me just tell you this new commandment that I just now thought of. I want you to love one another as I've loved you." No, I really believe that this entire evening was planned around this teaching on the love. Well, David, why do you say that? I say it because the entire evening Jesus was exemplifying this love that He now spoke of. Notice how we read the first verse, what is said. The 13th chapter, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Now, brethren, this morning I present this lesson not because I think we're on the wrong path. I present it because I think we're on the right path, but I think we always have room for improvement. If we stop growing, we're dying. Spiritually, we need to always be striving to obtain perfection. And Jesus says, "I want you to love as I have loved you." And in the first verse, He says, "The kind of love I have for you is the love that loves until the end." Now, Jesus, who are you saying this to? Jesus says, "I'm saying it to Peter sitting right there. Peter's going to deny me 3 times. And brethren, that's personal. That's going to hurt Jesus. Peter's going to 3 times say, "I don't even know the man." And the 3rd time he's going to curse and he's going to swear. Jesus says, "I'm going to love him to the end." Jesus, who else are you saying it to? "I'm going to say this to Judas. I'm going to love Judas into the end. He's the one going to come up and he's going to kiss my cheek to allow them to know that I'm the one that they are come to arrest and to crucify." He says, "I'm going to love Judas to the end." Jesus, who else? "I'm going to love every one of these, and when I'm arrested, they're going to kind of turn their back from me. They're going to run and hide, and they're going to protect themselves instead of trying to help me, except for Peter." But then he's going to turn around and deny me. He says, "I'm going to love them all until the end." Brethren, this morning we must believe and we must start working on a love that's going to love each other to the end. I feel very, very fortunate to be a part of a congregation that has not had any serious problems in the last year. But brethren, we don't know when the serious problems are coming. The question is, are we going to love each other to the end? You see, Satan is going to try to take us out individually, and if he can't do that, he's going to try to come into the middle of us and he's going to try to divide us. Are we going to love each other to the end? Are we going to allow separations in the Lord's church to come? Peter made a terrible mistake, and it hurt Jesus. Judas made a terrible mistake, and it cost Jesus His life. And Jesus looked at those two men and He said, "I'm going to love you to the end." This morning, can you say to yourself and to your God, it doesn't matter what happens amongst us at East Gaston Church of Christ, I'm going to love everyone here until the end. Sure, there's going to be problems. If we live just a few more days, there's going to be problems. There's going to be mistakes that we make. And there's going to be hurt feelings. There may even be damage done. But are we going to love each other to the end? When Jesus said, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you," that's the first step He took this evening in proving this love. An undying love. A love that is unconditional. When I make a mistake, when I hurt your feelings, in the future, are you going to love me? When you make a mistake and you hurt my feelings, am I going to love you? We must, if we're going to have the love of Jesus Christ. Notice the second thing He did that evening. The story, we're very familiar with His story. It begins in the 3rd chapter. He arose from the supper and He girded Himself with a towel there in verse 4. He poured water into a basin, verse 5, and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded. He came to Peter and Peter said, "Don't wash mine." Jesus said, "What I do, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet, and if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Now notice, why did he do this? Verse 12 at the very end. Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Brethren, if I'm going to have the love of Jesus Christ, I must be willing to serve. Now, Jesus, whose feet did you wash? And again, it sounds redundant, but it's a powerful point. I washed the feet of Judas, he says. I washed the feet of the one that's going to bring great harm to me. The one that already has hurt my feelings because I know the way he feels about me. Jesus, whose feet did you wash? I washed Peter's, even though I know he's going to deny me. Jesus, whose feet did you wash? I washed them all. Now, brethren, if I were to demonstrate a lesson like this as Jesus did, I probably would have been foolish enough to turn around and say, let me grab a basin of water and let me wash one person's feet here. Let me go down here and let me wash Wayne Laney's feet. And then when I'm finished, I'm going to turn around to all of you and say, see, I've washed his feet. I'm the Master and I've washed his feet. So you all learn to wash each other's feet. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus took the time and the effort to go around to everyone in that room, all of them, and he washed the feet. Jesus, why all of them? Because he wanted to be able to stand up and say, ye do likewise. Brethren, there is no one in this room today that you shouldn't serve. No one. There's no one in this room that is too good or too bad. We all should be serving each other. Jesus went to those that were going to hurt him. Jesus went to those that were going to run away and hide when he needed. Jesus went to those that were going to fall asleep when he said, pray with me this morning. Am I going to have the love of Jesus and I'm going to serve God and I'm going to serve each other until the end? You know, there's so much that has to be done in the Lord's kingdom. Here at East Gadsden, we know that we need teachers. We need dedicated teachers. Not just those that want to fulfill a teaching position. We need those that want to make a difference in students' lives. Those that love the Word and they want to spread the Word to others. That's service. That's what we need. We need those that are dedicated to special events such as Vacation Bible Schools, Youth Rallies, Ladies' Days, seminars, the paper such as Insight, distributing it. We need those that want to serve in those areas. They want to because they love the Lord and they love those around them. We need those that are willing to visit the sick, the widows, the shut-ins, to show, to serve, to love. We need those even to help around the building. Those that will trim shrubs, paint rooms, change light bulbs, whatever the need is. But you see, the question is, am I willing to serve? Jesus Christ went and he served every one of them. He says, ye do likewise. Before I leave this point, I want to stress to you to think seriously about the fact. Can you show love without showing service to each other? The next time someone is sick, is there any way for you to show, to let them know that you love them without serving them in some way? Now, the service may be something as simple as a phone call. It may be as simple as a card. It may be preparing a meal. It may be many, many things that you may do. But can you really let them know that you love them without doing something?
See, brethren, the answer really is no. You must do something. They can't know it. Why? Because man cannot read the hearts of other men. So in reality, if I want you to know that I love you, I have to serve you. That's the only way you can know that I love you. Do we love each other? Do we serve each other? Also, there's a third way that we must be if we're to have the love of Jesus Christ. Notice, as we have finished up those thoughts in 15, 16, and 17, Jesus now turns and He wants to identify the one that is to betray Him. Sin 21, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray Me." Verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." He dipped it. He handed it to Judas. Verse 30, "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." Do you think that was coincidence? Jesus wanted to make the point that He was going to love them to the end, and Judas was there. He made the point that we should serve all men, and Judas was there. But now, Jesus does an action that is going to cause Judas to get up and leave. Do you think it was just an accident that that happened right now? I don't think so. I think Jesus intended for Judas to leave at this moment. Why do I say that? Because what He is about to talk about now is something that you don't just talk about with just anyone there. He wanted to talk to His close Christian companions, the ones that were Christ-like. What was He going to talk about? Notice what happens in verse 36. Simon Peter said, "Lord, whither goest Thou?" He continues by saying, "Can I follow You? Can I go with You? Lord, I'll help You." Sounds almost like a little 5 or 6 year old speaking to their mother, doesn't it? "Where are You going? Can I go?" And then Jesus spends the next chapter, chapter 14, comforting them. Almost speaking to them as little children. "Don't be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you." Verses 11, 12, and 13. "Don't be afraid. I haven't forgotten about you. Your soul is too powerful. It's too great to forget about." Verse 16. "I'll even send a comforter to take care of you." Verse 26 and 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Brethren, these are things that Jesus, I believe, did not want to say in the presence of Judas. Anytime we have the love of Jesus Christ in us, there are going to be times when we want to share with those of the like love, the same love. And we don't feel comfortable sharing that love with each other in the presence of others. You see, if I have the love of Jesus Christ and you have the love of Jesus Christ, many barriers have been broken down. Many walls have crumbled. You see, you're not going to be afraid to talk with me because I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to turn around and go tell somebody else what you told me. If I have the love of Jesus Christ, you're going to have enough faith in me and enough love that you'll come and talk to me, and that I can strengthen you and you can strengthen me. This morning, the question I need to ask is, do I have that love? Do I have the type of love that others feel comfortable coming to me? Or do others think that I might laugh? Do they have a fear that I just might not be understanding? Do they have a fear that I might go and spread it around to others? I think this was the love that Jesus was emphasizing, that Jesus was wanting to teach, but He wanted Judas out of His presence before He talked about this type of love. Then there's a fourth thing that we can see about Jesus' love. In verse 35, immediately after He has said that we love one another as He has loved us, He says in verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples." Brethren, we don't need a sign that lights up and says, "We're the disciples of Jesus Christ." Now, I believe in using whatever is at our disposal to spread the gospel of Christ. I believe in and advertising in newspapers. I believe in and TV and radio. I believe in whatever ways, but we must believe Jesus Christ first. And Jesus says there's no better way to advertise Jesus than to practice His love. Brethren, the people you work with should know Christ because they know you. The members of your family that are not Christians should know Christ because they know you. Your neighbors that are not Christians should know Christ because they know you. And they see the love of Christ in your life. We don't have to have a big sign. We don't have to go around bragging about it. We simply have to live it. Now what is that we live? We live that love that loves to the end. We live that love that serves all of mankind. Even Peter, when he says, "Don't serve me," he served him anyway. We also have that special bond, that love that destroys fear so that we can be a close spiritual family and share and care and encourage one another. And when we have that, we have the love of Christ that will fill this building with souls from the community. Souls that want to share that same kind of love because Jesus Christ has been lifted up and magnified. This morning, how is your love life with one another and with Jesus Christ? I feel blessed immensely to be a part of this congregation. A congregation where I think love abounds. But let us never take this love for granted. And let us always be willing to reach out with an undying love to all and serve and to create that special bond of love that comes from being a spiritual family. This morning, we need to think first about our love to God. They asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" And He said, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." Do you have your love with God in proper order? Jesus, what's the second greatest? The second is likened to it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And that takes care of the love that we've spoken of this morning, loving each other. This morning, are you loving God as He's commanded? Do you have sins in your life? Are you willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized to wash those sins away? There's no greater way to start another year together than to start it with us all on the same track, all marching forward with heaven as our vision, all being in heaven together. Have you taken that step, but yet you've fallen away? You know, when I look at the love that Jesus exemplified here, I see that I have a lot to work on. Do you see that in your life and maybe you've caused others to stumble? You need to ask for forgiveness of sins. You need to remove that stumbling block from others. If we can pray with you and for you this morning, help in any way, come as we stand, as we sing.